Blog Talk Radio.
All right, she is now gone. That annoying voice is gone. We are not on the air. It's just that we've got now a couple of hours. We don't need all that time, but we have our air time has been given to us, okay?
Yep.
So, first of all, I have been to far north Queensland. I've stayed in the rainforest.
That's where I am, yep.
Yeah, so it very, very interesting. I went to some of the fruit farms and many of the other things there, so it was very interesting. And
very ancient land.
Very ancient. We visited an architect who had built a home that made to disintegrate.
Oh, interesting.
He was a bioethicist, and he wanted to leave no trace of himself when he left the planet. So people in Queensland are very interesting, I have to say. So that was
that. They're quite different up here.
Yes, and I actually saw and wrote an article about a bird that was, they say, the most ancient bird from the times of dinosaurs, actually. And I can't remember the name. It's like a Canibara, but it's very, very large. It has a hard shell on its crown.
Oh, yes. No. Absolutely. It's a... I've just seen them today. I know exactly what you mean.
Right.
It's just flown out of my head, but no.
Yeah, I wrote an article
it's
about
the most
birding, and I put
bird.
It in. But you know what? I saw him in a parking lot, so I don't know what he was doing. Everyone says, "Oh, you can't." Yeah, I did.
I haven't seen one. No.
Interesting.
No,
I haven't
seen one, but they're extraordinary animals.
Extraordinary, and when I get a chance, I'll send you the article on it, and I think I even have a picture. So amazing!
Oh, no, they're the most extraordinary birds. They just it's literally out of prehistoric times.
Yes.
Those birds are
absolutely. So let me tell you what we're going to do now, so that you get it. First of all, I read the book, and I love the book.
Good.
Second
Thank
of all,
you.
Yes, I'm going to promote the book quite a bit during the show, so you don't have to. But you could tell me, I'm sure it's on Amazon.
It is.
But is there any other place they could get it? Do you have
I
a website?
Probably in
you
America,
want to give
probably. I just say it's janematthews.com.au.
Okay, good. So I'll either say that or ask you to say that a couple of times, all right?
Yeah. Yep.
Now, we have four segments of this show. We have plenty of time, and I have a lot of questions, but there'll be nothing that you're not entirely into, because I get it, and you're very, very clear as to what your message is. The only thing in your press release that was sent to me that I am going to, that isn't in there, is the Japanese tool number 9, but I don't know how to pronounce it. So you have to pronounce it for me. Ikigai? How do you say that?
Oh, ikigai, yeah.
Ikigai. Okay, good. I'm going to talk to... I will ask you about ikigai, all right? Because for me, this was the key. And so I'm going to start with an introduction, and the first thing, of course, I'm going to hone in right now. The very first thing is going to be what you start out with, which is the uselessness of the usual advice. Okay?
Yeah. Yep.
And then we'll get into what it's really all about, which is knowing who you are and embracing yourself. Is that does that work for you?
It's fine. The only thing about ikigai is I am in remote North Queensland, and I haven't had internet for a week. And I can't remember all the real details about ikigai, to be honest with you.
You don't need to know the details. Let me just tell you what I had in mind, okay? That's why I do the pre-interview. So ikigai, as you have it here, is your purpose. What is your purpose? And you talk about in the Japanese culture, there's a reason to get up in the morning, a healthy passion.
Absolutely,
make you feel that life is worthwhile, a purpose. Now, the reason that I bring this up is for you, just so you know, and it won't be the first thing I ask about, is we're dealing with the issue of aging here most of the time. And
yes.
Although it's not going to be the primary thing with you, it's going to be in there. And one of the biggest problems is we lose our life purpose. When we
Completely.
Lose our life purpose,
absolutely.
Even
yep.
people who weren't lonely become lonely. So that's why I want
yep.
to bring up Ikigai, only in the context of life purpose, not in its
I just want to tell
total
you,
philosophical
right now, I'm in
detail.
Far North Queensland with
mm-hmm.
a bunch of 15 Australians who are seniors, and it's all of this is so on point, you know, so I deal with this every day, absolutely.
Now, by the way, you mentioned a couple of times where you are. Are you on a retreat with them? Are you holding a coaching, or are you just all friends living together?
No, it's a tour.
Oh, my goodness. So you're a traveler, like me, an ageless traveler.
I'm a tour guide. So
right, and that's
my
one
background
of the, how you
is
reinvent-
advertising.
Right. How you
and
reinvent-
at 58, I reinvented myself as a tour guide.
Okay.
So now
all this is-
I take Americans and Australians around Australia and take them to all around Australia. That's so I had a completely new career at 58 because in Australia the average age for an advertising person is 27 and I'd done advertising for 100 years but I was too old. And so
right.
now I have reinvented myself as a tour guide. And so I take Americans around Australia and I take Australians around Australia and take them to unusual, extraordinary places around here. So today I was in a cave with an Aboriginal guide looking at beautiful Aboriginal rock art. You know, so it's every day is
yeah.
extraordinary
so,
for me.
Right, so let me tell you, we'll probably be able to get into some of that maybe in our second or third segment. Our first segment
yep.
is going to be all about the book and about
yep.
your concept of meeting your own self. All right? I mean, to me,
yes.
this is the big inspirational thing about what's going on here. Is that all right?
Yep. Yes,
great.
Absolutely.
And I'll be and give me an opportunity to ask questions. So one of the things, I have very articulate guests like you, and they're writers and they're speakers. So every once in a while, take a breath because I'm polite. I don't like to break you off for another question. Just finish the answer, and I will ask a new question because I've got lots for you, and you're going to like them. All right, you're going to hear music.
Okay.
I'm going to introduce the show. I'm going to introduce you. Stuart, are you ready? Do you need to test the music? He's going to test the music. So I won't surprise you. I'll tell you that. One of the things I'm going to say is that I've never been lonely, and we'll talk about a little bit that too. So, Stu,
I'm smiling.
We are now ready.
Yeah,
yeah. Well, it's hard to say, but there's a reason. Okay, so I'm going to be quiet, and you'll be quiet, and we'll get started.
Good.
I look in the mirror, I don't see wrinkles. When I look in the mirror, I see hair on my head, not my shoulder.
And hello, hello, hello. This is Adrienne Berg, and this is Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth. A few housekeeping announcements before we head into one of the best radio journeys that you will ever take. We're talking with author Jane Matthews. She is with us from North Queensland, far North Queensland, where she has become one of the premier tour leaders, bringing Australians and Americans all around Australia. But we'll hear about that journey a little bit later. We're going to start with your journey. She's the author of The Art of Living Alone and Loving It. And before we just say hello to her, I just want to remind everybody that here in the U.S., we have a new retirement law It is very overreaching. It is the most impactful law since 2006, and I've done a complete analysis of it for you as it specifically impacts seven ways that it's going to touch your retirement if you're a boomer, a mature, already retired, or 10 years before retirement. There's 29 different changes. I've highlighted the top seven. All you have to do is go to GenerationBoldRadio.com, and you can hear on our post number 26 everything you need to know. And if you want to get more information on that or you want to get our podcasts sent to you, just give me your email address. It's right there on the podcast player, and we'll get you lots of information. So that's GenerationBoldRadio.com. Now let's turn our attention to Jane Matthews, The Art of Living Alone and Loving It. So thank you first for being on our show from all the way from far north Queensland, Australia.
You're welcome.
So let's dive into one thing. You mentioned in your book that people give and get a lot of useless advice if they feel lonely, particularly if they become a widow or divorced or whatever it is. Oh, you know, get out more, go online, do this, do that. And you say that doesn't work. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I find it incredibly patronizing, the advice that's given online about loneliness. So the sort of media sound bites are things like loneliness is the silent epidemic, or loneliness is like the equivalent of smoking 15 cigarettes a day. You know, it's just trite. You know, what we really want to know is what we can do to combat it. And the advice that's given on the internet is incredibly unhelpful. And they say things like, go out, call your friends. And sometimes that works, and sometimes it really doesn't. And, you know, get a pet. I just find it incredibly unhelpful. And so I've taken a sort of step back and said, listen, you know, we need to look at two parts of it. One is in your mind and being mentally really strong and resilient and liking yourself. And the other thing is really practical steps that you can take to combat loneliness, like, you know, really, really practical things that you can do.
Well, we're going to get into both those aspects of it. And let's start for a moment with the more liking yourself. I said something to Jane Matthews. I don't think she believed me. I said, I've never been lonely, right? And I felt that all the way from North Queensland, that intake of breath, who's she kidding kind of thing. But let me tell you why and why this book is so fascinating and why I think everyone should have a copy, even if they don't feel lonely. This did a lot for me. And I'm a person who's saying I've never been lonely. It's called The Art of Living Alone and Loving It. And I'll tell you, Jane, why I say that. I was an only child, and I was left to my own devices a lot because my father died. My mom had to go out to work. And I began to cherish my solitude. And in only two books that I've ever read my whole life, one is called Solitude, the other one is your book, The Art of Living Alone and Loving It, did I see the appreciation of solitude. I was the person, and thank God for cell phones, because I used to talk to myself. I made myself my best companion, and I loved it. And I used to talk to myself, but now with cell phones, everybody looks like they're talking to themselves, so they don't think I'm crazy when I'm walking in the street. But tell us about this idea of cherishing the time that you have and who you are as your own companion.
I think you've really hit the nail on the head, because the most important thing is that you like yourself. And if you don't like yourself, you're the person who you spend the most time with. And if you don't like the person who you are, then it's a problem, you know. And so I think you have to really work at enjoying the person who you are. And I think you're absolutely right. There's a big thing about solitude versus loneliness. And I think if you embrace solitude, and you think about, I think solitude is loneliness's sort of nicer sister, you know, and that you can actually, solitude is something that you want to be with, and loneliness is not. And I think that's really important. And I think it's, you know, you learn to love solitude and not so much loneliness. But I think it's absolutely possible to enjoy it. And I think you really have to work at it. I mean, my point about living alone and loving it is it takes work. You can't, it's not going to come to you. You have to go to it. You know, you have to be proactive. You have to embrace it. You have to, you know, make, put things in your diary and your calendar. You know, I think it takes a little bit of work. That's my, that's what I believe. And I've done it. You know, I've been incredibly lonely on, you know, and there are sometimes on Christmas Day or things, you know, and it's just you prepare for them. You know, you prepare, you put things in your calendar and you work at it.
And, you know, I want everyone to know that while it may not be in your local bookstore, The Art of Living Alone and Loving It is very instructive. It is also a how-to book. As Jane Matthews, the author, says, there's a practical side of this, and she's bringing it out right now. And before we get into some of the practicality, I do want to mention one of the emotionality. You're a tour guide, and I travel all over the world, and I often do it alone. And during the week, I may go to a Broadway show or an off-Broadway show 3 or 4 times and eat in a restaurant alone. Now, I'm married. I've been married almost 50 years, and my husband goes with me a lot. But I love the time together. So what I want, the time together with my other self, my solitude self. So what I want to point out to everybody before we get into the practicalities is, as Jane says, there's one thing I have to practice, and that is making sure I know that nobody cares that I'm sitting there by myself. Nobody cares. They are not looking at you. They're not saying, why is she by herself? They're not saying, you know, she's not good enough to be with somebody else. You got to get over that, or you won't have the peace and enjoyment of solitude you can. Tell us a little bit about how you did that. You got divorced, and yet you found yourself. What was your process in it?
I so agree with that. Honestly, it just I'm smiling when you're saying that because it's so, so true. And, you know, going out to eat by yourself, you can sit at the often a lot of restaurants now have a sort of bar set up where, you know, where you can sit with other people or next to people or on a communal table. And I think it's, you know, you should not let being alone stop you from doing anything at all. And more and more and more people are dining alone. It's the biggest growing trend. It's the same with travel. You know, more and more of us are traveling by ourselves. And I think you're absolutely right. It should not stop you from doing anything. No one is going to judge you. Everyone is thinking about themselves. Everyone is thinking, should I have the pasta or the spaghetti or, you know, or the salad? They're not looking at you. You know, no one is judging you. And as I say, more and more and more people are doing this. This is the biggest growing trend. Single people, people living by themselves, is the fastest growing demographic in the world. So 10% of the people in America live by themselves. 1 in 4 households are people who live by themselves in America. You know, it's a huge growing trend. And for travel, you know, the single supplement is becoming a thing of the past, hopefully. You know, there's a great solo traveler blog, you know, that has got all of the solo traveler things listed. It's just becoming, it's not, we're not pariahs anymore, you know, we're not white lepers carrying our bell before us, you know, it's
And you know, we're going to take a little break.
Absolutely fine.
We're going to take a little break now, and I'm going to say, apropos of what Jane Matthews is talking about, we're going to talk a little bit about her life as a tour guide, too. But for those of you who are single travelers, my latest blog, you'll see at Adrienne Berg, Aging for Beginners, an article called The Ageless Traveler, and Travel Buddies, and some of the other blogs that Jane Matthews is talking about, where you can travel by yourself without a single supplement. It's all on there. Now, why is that? Because boomers are booming. There were 78 million of us in the United States of America, born between the ages of 1946 and 1964. And sometimes we are by ourselves, but we want to get out there. So we're going to talk about how to make this journey more practical for you with The Art of Living Alone and Loving It. Don't go anywhere.
For my age, da-da-da-da.
Okay, now we're off the air. They're putting in commercials now. And the reason that I cut you off there was, I'll tell you this, I know when music is going to start for the commercials, and they throw us off the air when that happens, and you don't know. So
sure.
I apologize for that. But when I see the music is in 60 seconds, that's what I do. Okay?
All right.
Now, I want to talk about, now, I still can't say it. Ikigi? Say it again.
Ikigai.
Yeah. All right, we will talk about life purpose a little bit in the next segment, and I'll segue to what you're doing. But for this next segment, is there anything burning that you really want to bring out? You want to be sure I don't miss?
No, not really. I mean, whatever you feel resonated with you. I mean, I just think, you know, we have to be people who live by themselves and are possibly lonely. You know, we have to be incredibly resilient and strong and brave. And I think
right.
most of us are, and proactive.
Well, one more thing I'm going to add, if we have time in this segment, is touch. What you talked about with touch. So you'll see that one,
yep.
okay? So just
no worries.
And the
all good.
Yeah. Okay, so we are ready. See, I really read your book, so now we have to be quiet.
You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, cause I am happy, and I freely admit, I'm inappropriate for my age, da-da-da-da.
And hello, 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 this is one of those shows that I am just so proud that we have the airwaves to bring out to you. The Art of Living Alone and Loving It, Jane Matthews. We're going to go a little bit deeper, but if you really want to make a change, you really have to take some action. And Jane's going to tell you about some of that action. One of them is getting the book. I mean, I tell you the truth. This is called Generation Bold, The Fountain of Truth. My name is Adrienne Berg, and if you don't know me, you can just Google adrienneberg.com, adrienneberg.com, if you happen to be just browsing the airways and you see the show. I'm a speaker all over the world on successful aging. A consultant to a lot of companies that want to cater to what we call the boomer, the mature, and the caregiver of the mature. And I know the problems. And one of those problems is loneliness. And it isn't easy because the normal thing to think about is that you're not with other people. And that's the real problem of loneliness. I'm never lonely, but it's not because I'm with other people. It's because I'm with me. And I grew up that way. It is a sink or swim. I was an only child with a single mom who had to go out to work. So I had a companion. I made a name for that companion, and as I got older, that companion disappeared. But it was a staple for me to have a good time together with myself. Not an easy thing to do, but I was brought up that way. So I am one of those people, Jane, who are like a rich person who says money isn't important. You know, it's all right to say it's not important if you got money. But I realize now through your book, The Art of Living Alone and Loving It, how important it is to really love yourself. I had it for many reasons, mostly my mother. So I want to talk about her for a moment. She lived till 92, and she lived alone for most of her life. And one of the things she said to me, Jane, was, I miss being touched. Sometimes, these are her real words that made me cry. She said, sometimes my skin hurts. Because that's the one thing that she missed, the physical touch. And you mentioned that. And you bravely mentioned that. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I don't like massages, and I've never really been a massage person. And someone said, after I got divorced, my husband left, and I didn't really know why. He just walked out, and I never expected to be divorced. This is about 10 years ago. And someone said, and I suddenly did lots and lots of massages, and I didn't really know why. And they said you have a sort of a hunger for touch, you know? Someone, you're missing someone touching you. And it suddenly all made sense that actually I just missed someone, anyone, touching me because no one was touching me anymore. And so even for a girl who didn't really like massages, suddenly I that was it. That was the reason that I missed a touch, you know, a human touch. And I hadn't really worked that out. That was the reason why. And suddenly that completely made sense to me. And, you know, when you're by yourself, you have to recalibrate a lot of what was normal isn't normal anymore.
Yeah.
You know, you have to really work at it. And so I've recalibrated a lot of my life to be alone. And that was one of them. I just sort of thought, oh, not because I really suddenly like massages. It's because, you know, I needed it.
Yes. Now, one of the things that I want everybody to know, and I was mentioning that I am a consultant to a lot of companies. Some of them are nonprofits, and you'd be interested in this, Jane, for us here in the U.S. There is a nonprofit called Tender Touch for All. It is a nonprofit that goes into assisted livings and nursing homes and gives massages. Isn't that amazing? And I had the privilege of...
I completely get that. People need to be touched.
Yeah,
We need to be touched.
Yeah. I was a consultant when they started as a not-for-profit to get them into the assisted livings, and it was one man made by himself into a really major nonprofit, Tender Touch for All. If anybody's listening and their parents, their older parents or their caregivers or they're in the assisted living industry, we need to be touched. And in the art of living alone and loving it, Jay Matthew teaches us not to be ashamed of it. It is part of the fact that what she calls, we're part of a herd. So let's talk about that now. In your book, you do say, look, we're supposed to be in a group. We are. So tell us some of the practical things that you did in your own life and you help people in the book know. You've got tools here. And I'd like to hear from you at some of those that are most effective.
One of the things I believe is that you actually have to be. There are two parts to it. The one is a mental part where you actually have to teach yourself to be very resilient and strong. And I talk about that in the book. And I never expected the whole chapter kind of wrote itself literally about mentally being strong. And then the rest of the book is really practicalities about relationships, about spirituality, about your home, about your work, really your health, really your finances, really practical things. But the one of the things, for example, about what we said about having to really like yourself and being proactive. So I don't wait for friends to ring me. I actually put things in my diary. I book tickets for plays or whatever, you know, so that friends will, you know, have things already in my calendar, so people, you know, have things to look forward to. And friends, you know, they are, I think you have to, I know it sounds very callous, but you have to separate them into drains and radiators.
Yes,
and, you know, you do
that.
Not want to hang around drains too much, you know, you really have to associate with the radiators, and you want to be a radiator yourself, you know, and you need to spend time with them. So I think, you know, you need to look at every aspect of your life, from relationships, your home, spirituality, finances, interests, all of those things, and actually really recalibrate yourself for a solo life. So for example, for your home, you know, what will really suit you? Everything, like having a big wall of pictures of your friends, photographs of your friends in front of you, you know, that's a great thing to do. And having your house exactly the way you want it, you know, you don't have to compromise for anyone else. Just have your home the way you want it and make sure when you walk in the door, there's a welcome. Your home walks up to greet you. You know, I just think little things. I've got a wall in my bedroom at the moment. I have it like a pinboard wall, and it's full of pictures of peonies, my favorite flower. And
so when we come back, Jane, we're going to be going to take a little bit of a break again. As I say, I always apologize to the guests because a time comes when we've got to pay the bills. And I love also light a candle, many very environmental things that we have in the art of living alone and loving it. Very practical things, very emotional things. When we come back, though, we're going to get to something extremely emotional and practical. Toxic friends. Dave kind of mentioned it with the radiators and the drains. Don't you go anywhere. Yeah, this is a deep, we're off the air now. This is a deep part of it, and I really want to get your take on it. You know, when a person is lonely or they think of themselves as lonely and they're needy, they tend to take any port in a storm, you know. And so I have found, particularly as we age, we surround ourselves with a lot of toxic people that are only talking about their ailments, their health. And it becomes impolite sometimes. I have trouble myself because my good friends bring my bad, you know, the radiators bring drains. And I don't know how to say no. So let's talk about that. Also, I think we'll have time to talk a bit about your own work and how exciting it is. And honestly, you probably have to deal with a lot of drains, too. I mean, you know, you've got clients there that you have to please in I don't know how you do it, so we'll see. Okay, we'll be quiet now. And Stuart, we are ready.
Okay.
Yep.
You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even. I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da, 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 da.
And hello, hello, hello. You know, I have this wonderful song that starts the show called I'm Inappropriate for My Age, but it's really a 10-minute musical, and it has three characters in it, and it was written by one of the great lyricists of Broadway. I commissioned it from him. So if you want to hear the entire song and the entire play, just go to our website for our radio show, and that is GenerationBoldRadio.com, and you can hear the 10 minutes. Now, in addition to all of that, we have archived so far about 26 shows. We'll be adding more and more. We have 4 years of shows to put up there, and you can go to our player, our audio player, put in your email address, and you'll get notification of all the shows and what's coming up. And also, finally, if you're interested in a speaker, I am a speaker on aging and successful aging and also the business of aging. So if you have a business that you think needs a more of a focused approach to the boomer, an active adult, let us know. And that is, again, at adrianberg.com. Now, speaking of being the active adult, you want to go out, you want to do things, you want to have friends. Jane Matthews says that in The Art of Living Alone and Loving It, which you must buy, and you have to get that on Amazon, that some friends are just really not worth it and are drains. But how do you say no to them? I don't know. So, Jane, tell us about that.
I think I really, really, really believe this because I've
know,
been
being
surrounded
so bad,
by,
but okay. I know.
By friends who are both drains and radiators. And when I was writing my first book, one of my friends said to me, I can't believe you're writing this book because no one will read it. I wouldn't read it. I don't know why you're bothering. And
Freak.
You go, oof, you know, it's really hard. But one of the things about being by yourself, you know, you have to be very resilient to that. And she's still a friend, but it really, really hurt me. But I think, you know, you just need to move on and you need to be very resilient. As I said, I think you need to be like an armadillo. You have to have an armadillo shell about you and you have to carry a little shield in front of you that has a mirror on it because mostly it's not about you. It's about someone else. It's about them. So maybe she was jealous of me. Maybe she was, I don't know. She didn't want me to be successful. So I think you have to have a little armadillo shell with a shield in front of you. And I think on a, you know, on a sort of practical point of view, I think in terms of loneliness, you know, hobbies, having a fantastic thing that you can immerse yourself in, that you lose yourself in, works. Being proactive works. You know, you need to contact your friends. You can't wait for them to contact you. So you need to be the person who buys tickets to the theatre, to the show, and you ring them up and you say, you know, do you want to come with me? You know, there are things like meetup and things. There are lots of things that we can do, you know, working for charities, working volunteer work and things is another great way to, you know, meet people and things. So I think there's so much, there's so many different opportunities to do things, but you have to be proactive. You cannot sit in your UGG boots on the sofa drinking wine, watching Netflix, because that's just not going to work.
Yep. You know, and I'll tell you a couple of thoughts come to mind. First of all, in terms of toxic friends here in the, I love your drain radiator. Here we usually say, oh, toxic friends, very negative people. I will tell you that as we grow older, we become more toxic to others because we talk about our ailments. One of my funniest and most read blogs was, stop talking about your health at restaurants. I am so sick and tired of hearing about somebody's procedure while I'm having a parfait. They become toxic. People who were, yeah, it's true. People who were not toxic, some of my best friends when we were younger, all of a sudden are seeing themselves as a patient. All they are are patients. They're a list of their procedures and ailments. Stop it. So I'm very, very tough about that. Where I'm very not tough, Jane, is I have some radiator friends who bring along drains because they can't say no to them. And now I have to be with them. And I it's bad. And sometimes I have to, I was in a situation at a gala where my friend who I want to go to a show with, we already had a show, the person I do not like to be with said, oh, I want to go. Now, what do you do? I mean, you know, you can't be that crass and that bad. And I was going to say yes and get her a ticket. But this was a wonderful gala with a buffet. And everybody loved it. And this woman said, you know, they took my plate away 3 times. Oh, my God. If you would have seen what a wonderful occasion it was, and the only thing she could think of was a negative. And that's all.
No.
And this is a homey little thing, and I feel so petty. But it really put a pall on my wanting to go to that show. So I did. Now, I knew what would happen. It would have been a constant barrage of negativity. So I bring it out to our audience only because if you read The Art of Living Alone and Loving It, you get some good information of how to be polite and get away from the drains, and that's important. But you also mentioned what to me is like a magic word, and that is volunteer. You volunteer, you meet the right people, but don't volunteer to meet the right people. So let's talk about that. How you picked what you want to do, whether it's volunteer or work, or a show or a trip, not in order to meet others, because that's very needy, but because you really want it. So explain that, where you have to clear out what you don't want and do things that you do want, and that really helps a lot with meeting the right people.
I think it's a really good point, because what you want to do is find something that you're interested in. So whether you have a loved one that has passed away from a particular disease, or and you feel passionate about that, or you feel, anyway, the thing that resonated with me is food, because I'm a big foodie, and the thing that resonated with me was wasted food. So I have... I volunteer for here in Australia, a charity called Oz Harvest, and it exists in America. There's New York Harvest, there's lots of them, and it's a food rescue charity. So we pick up food that would otherwise be thrown away, and we take it to people who need it and eat it. So it's a very, very simple operation. We literally pick up food from restaurants, from factories, that would, they were food that was going to be thrown away, and we take it to charities and they distribute it to people who need to eat it. So it's a really, really simple thing. And I love it, and I do it, and last Monday I was picking through Qantas aeroplane breakfast meals, picking away the food that, like muffins in a plastic bag and fruit that hadn't been touched, and we take it all away and give it to people who need it. And I've made friends with the people I'm on the shift with, and I've made huge friends through it, and it's been an incredibly, I just learned so much from it, and it's been a wonderful experience. But I think there, obviously, everyone can find the thing that they are most interested in, and you know, feel resonates with them, a charity, and do it. Absolutely, do it, do it, do it.
And, you know, and don't judge what you like. I'm going to bring my mom up again, because my charity, everybody knows, all my listeners know, is Good Grief. It's for children who lost a parent early in life, and that makes sense because I'm one of those people. And in those days, there wasn't anybody, any grief, childhood grief, who knew about it, right? So my mom said something that you would like, Jane. She was a widow very early in life, and she had to go out to work, and I was alone. And somebody said to her, I'll never forget it, somebody said to her, and I didn't even realize it was an important thing until reading your book. How do you like that? Somebody said, oh, your child is alone. My mother said, she's not alone. She's by herself. And think about that for a minute. That's just your message. You're not alone. You're by yourself. So, like yourself, enjoy it, and have your life purpose. And we come back. I gave Jane Matthews, author of The Art of Living Alone and Loving It, fair warning. She mentions in her toolkit in the book, tool number 9. It's Japanese concept of purpose. I think she taught me how to say ikigai. I hope I'm saying it right. Ikigai. I-K-I-G-A-I. Ikigai. And I want her to talk about that a little bit, because one of the major things that we lose sometimes as we get older, even if we're not alone, even if we're not widows or widowers or divorced, is we lose our life purpose, even as a couple sometimes. So this is so important. The art of living alone and loving it is not just about being alone. People who feel lonely, it's for everybody. We'll be right back.
I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da 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 da. Da 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 da.
Now, I can't believe this. Are we at the end of the show? My goodness, we have the last segment of the show. I feel like I just got started. All right, so you know what I'm going to talk about. And we'll give you your email address, too, at the beginning of the show, okay?
Sure.
And since it is the last segment, Ikigai and what you're doing as a tour guide, is there anything else you want to talk about? I always
no,
ask.
No, you've been amazing.
This is quite a book. So, okay, we are ready, Stu.
You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da, 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 da.
And hello, hello, hello. This is Adrienne Berg, and this is Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth. And we're all over the place now. Of course, please go to Bottom Line Personal, Adrienne Berg. You'll find our blog there. Go to adriennberg.com. You'll find the speaking topics. You'll find videos. I just came back from Denver speaking about aging at the aquarium. What do you think of that one? We had 200 people show up. Also, if you are doing a keynote or if you have an event or a training, particularly if you want to get your staff to understand more about the business of aging and how to deal with boomers, seniors, caregivers, the mature, let me know. And how do you do it? You just go to adriennberg.com or you go directly to our radio show, generationboldradio.com. So The Art of Living Alone and Loving It. Now, of course, you can go to Amazon. You can get the book on Amazon. We have the author, Jane Matthews, with us right now from far north Queensland. I have been there. Fantastic rainforest, beautiful place. She is guiding 15 people who are all adults, shall we say, around Australia. That's what she has reimagined her life, to be a tour guide after her divorce. She's also a great author, as you're hearing right now. Now, before we go any further, other than Amazon, Jane, how else can you have your own website that we should know about?
Yeah, I'm janematthews.com.au, and it's also available on Audible. The book is available on Audible.
Did you read it, or is there somebody reading it?
No, I read it, and I actually had to interview to read it myself. So I actually had to do an interview, and I had to do a test and to see whether they would like my voice. But they did, which was lucky. So I did
I'm
know
so
I
jealous.
Read my own book.
Yeah, I am so jealous. You know, I got 14 books out, and they listen to my voice. I'm a radio broadcaster, for heaven's sake. Oh, you're too Brooklyn. You're too New York. Thank you. If I had I'm going to pretend to have a British accent.
I don't know, but they liked it. So I'm the person.
I know. You have such a beautiful voice. I'm going to pretend to be British next time. I'm going to tell them. I'm going to change all my resume.
I love your voice, you know.
I have to say, you know, people do hear my voice. I was at a talkers conference, and I was in the ladies' room, and somebody asked me a question, and I answered it from the stall, and someone else said, oh, I know who she is. So, yeah, I have a distinctive voice, but apparently it's not good enough for Audible, but we'll see. So, The Art of Living Alone and Loving It, and Jane Matthews is janematthews.com.au. You got to remember the AU for Australia. All right. So, we want to talk about Ikigai. This is a question of having a life purpose. And tell us a little bit about it and how you got your own life purpose as a reinvented individual and a tour guide.
Well, Ikigai it's not my invention at all. You know, it's a Japanese way of looking at your life's purpose. And I talk about it in the book, but you can just Google it and you can find your own Ikigai, which is a way of finding your life's purpose. But, you know, not everyone has to have a life's purpose. I think there's a lot of pressure put on us, just like I am meant to put on the earth for this thing. Not all of us have that, and that's fine. And sometimes it creeps up on you, you know, it's okay. But, you know, I never thought I'd write a book. And then when I got divorced, I wanted a book. Well, when I was in midlife, I wanted to find a book. And so I wrote a book called Midlife Manifesto because I couldn't find a book that I wanted. And then when I found my husband left and I wanted a book about living alone, and I never expected to live alone, so I wrote a book about that. You know, things suddenly creep up on you. You never know what's going to happen to you. So, but I think the most important thing about living alone, as I said, is being proactive in life.
You know, the idea here is not to let things happen to you, but to make everything happen. And one of the things you made happen was to become a tour guide. Now, that's not an easy thing. And I think it's
no,
the world of hospitality. It's tough. Tell us a little bit about it.
No, absolutely, because I'm 58 and I worked in advertising my whole career. And the average age in Australia for someone, probably in the world, for someone working in an advertising agency is 27. And I went to advertising agencies and, you know, they would look at me and say, I think I would go to an agency for a meeting and they would say, not can I help you, but that can I help you? And they would think I was obviously clearly not in the right building or in the right, you know, I was clearly
right.
Lost or something, or should be on the community bus or
right.
Anyway.
Why aren't
so
you in the senior citizen center?
Yeah, and so I reinvented myself as a tour guide, and luckily, I'm 58, every single company I've gone to, I went back to college, community college, did a course, and every single company I've gone to has accepted me. They want me to work for them. And so because I'm the perfect age, because I've got life experience, but I can deal with older people. I'm organized and I'm compassionate and I understand what's going on. So it's actually been an incredible second career for me. And so now I'm in far north Queensland in Australia doing things. Like today I spent a day with an Aboriginal guide. We saw cave drawings, 2,000 years old. I see dolphins. It's extraordinary the things that I've been doing, and I would never have done them had I probably if I hadn't got divorced, actually. But I just every day is an extraordinary experience for me.
Well, I have,
and I have a lot of American clients, and they are. It's really lovely to introduce them to the wonders of Australia, and they just go, I take them to Uluru,
it's an amazing
to Ayers Rock.
It's an amazing place.
And
I've been there. I guess I've spent a total of about 6 weeks or 7 weeks of my life in Australia, and it's wonderful.
Yeah.
However, what isn't wonderful is we're at the end of our show. And I have to thank you so much for being with us. Such an inspiration. The Art of Living Alone and Loving It, Jane Matthews. And you know what? This is the kind of show where I can say from the heart, I showed you how to do this. Get out there, kids, and make it happen. Terrific. By the way, we're off the air. Let me tell you, I just tried to... I'm a speaker. I speak everywhere. I was just rejected from a cruise ship, a speakership agency, because they said people on a cruise ship don't want to hear about successful aging and wellness.
And
it was
no,
come off my chair.
No. I honestly, really? I mean, that's...
Yeah,
I can really change. Not...
Can you imagine? And I
think if you were any topic in the world, that would be it.
I know. So I thought so too. And I wrote back. I could show it to you. Because I love travel. I travel all over. And I travel out of my own pocket. But I do a lot of travel writing. And I know what people want to hear. When I did the Denver Aquarium, they told me that twice as many people showed up for the topic of aging than they had ever had for any topic. So you'll see.
Adrienne, I just think that's extraordinary. Honestly, to me, you're obviously on top of what you're doing. I find that ridiculous because it's the hottest thing, I deal, all of my clients are elderly. They are probably from late 60s to 90.
Right.
And that what you're talking about is the perfect topic.
Well, you should know that I'll be 71 in September. And I try to be the role model of what I tell. And I do know, by the way, the 70s is one of the most treacherous decades. You make it through the 70s, you're fine. You'll be fine. So I really do try to help people age beautifully. It's a good topic, and it's popular. So I thought, well, look, I could talk about it on cruise ships. Nope.
Absolutely.
Amazing. Anyway, I'll show you. And also, now, are you with like a mopping tour? Are you with a tour company, or are you creating your own tours?
No, I just work for, I'm freelance, so I work for different companies. So I work for about 6 different companies. When they want someone, I come on board.
Right.
But
right.
What I specialize in is small tours for upmarket, like no more than 15, 16 Americans or Australians around Australia. So I, upmarket, sort of, very professional, very upmarket stores.
Well, I'm going to keep you on the list. I spend a lot of time traveling. I'm going to be away all the month of August. When we come back, one of our things on our to-do list is to resurrect. We own a brand called the Ageless Traveler, and we want to create a small store for people and refer them to different travel experiences. And I think yours, you know, just having them go directly to you and then you see who you're working with might be a very good thing to do.
Yeah, but absolutely, because I do like personalized tours in Sydney for people and Australia for people who want really, you know, really a different, like a local get to know the place, like off the grid, you know,
right.
Proper, not just all the tourist stuff, just really. And I feel sorry for people who just do the tourist stuff in Australia, because there's a whole nother level. And we did it today, you know, which is seeing these Aboriginal paintings in these caves that are 3,000 years old. You know,
wonderful.
Tourists don't see it. You know, they are off the grid.
Right. Well, we'll go back. My husband has never been there. I have to get off because I got to go to my next thing. But my husband's never been there. I would love to take another tour there because both times that I was there, I was working. First time was OAT, Overseas Adventure Travel, had me go to their tour.
I worked for them, yeah.
Had me go to lens it. It's called lensing, looking at it through the eyes of the older adult. And the second time I was actually with a gold company that took me to Perth, to the gold mines. Because I was consulting with them because their clientele was older. So, and I was there 3 weeks each time. And so I had a business view of Australia. But as a tourist, I actually haven't been there as just a straight-up tourist. So I'd love to go again. And that'd be great.
Okay,
all right,
well,
so
let's stay in touch.
We'll stay in touch. This is going to be heard. Well, my producer knows when it's heard. He'll send you everything. Okay. Great.
Okay, lovely to talk to you. Take
care.
Take care. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Yeah. Okay, Talbleb called. I got to call him back. Well, it doesn't matter. I called him yesterday. He called me back.